I'm Mark, I'm a sex, love, and fantasy act.
Mark.
Thank you, everyone who showed up today, for yourselves. One of the people who shares on the slot, Inspiration Minds, his name's Ari, always starts his share with a deep breath. So let's all take a deep breath. So breathe in. I just forget to breathe sometimes. So, I made some notes because I wanted to follow an outline. I just wanted to cover a few things, share topics, take a breath. Cool. State of grace. So, a tool of recovery I use is a state of grace, which is the SWA book. And today's reading, August 5th, is Poetic Love. Engaging in romantic obsession distorts our perceptions. In the heights of our obsession, we may see the object of our obsession as someone other than who or she or he really is, project qualities onto that person that she or he doesn't have. This is from Romantic Obsession pamphlet. Sounds like a lot of poetry, doesn't it? The classical poets often wrote about people who were dead. Love at first sight or overly romantic love can happen. I see it in the movies all the time, but that's not real. Maintaining communication with another human being who has their own thoughts and feelings is hard work, especially for a self-centered addict like me. Lovers in the pages of a book or on the movie screen are much easier to handle, or so I thought. Movies look so much different to me when I watch them in sobriety. I get into trouble when I believe in the fantasy of someone and start to obsess. I need realistic expectations to keep me rooted in reality and sobriety, and if I allow myself to go flying off into the clouds, I'm lost. Prayer, meditation, and contact with sober SLAA members keeps me tethered and sane. I am grounded to a world of truth. Amen. So, fantasy, movies, and TV. So, I was married for about 18 months, and that was 18 months of a three-year relationship, which was just part of the spiral of my addiction going down, right? DNA is a spiral, it's a chiral molecule, and it's made of genes, like little segments along the spiral, like a spring, you know. And so my marriage was just like one little segment of that. My ex-wife was an aspiring filmmaker, and she went to go work for a brief period, a pretty famous documentarian. We went to the screening of one of his latest things, which is a series of people following them throughout their lives. Really great series. Anyway, and so I raised my hand, you know, in the Q&A portion to ask the intelligent question, to look smart, do you find more truth in, documentary or in fiction? You know, because this particular director had done both. And he's like, good point. This is a Brit. And so... as a fantasy addict, I try and process things through analogy oftentimes. So this is like this, and this is like this, and this is like this. Or maybe this is not like this. Maybe it's not a good analogy, you know? Maybe it's more like this. I'm trembling right now a little bit, partly due to the adrenaline of this moment, but also due to... I didn't sleep well last night. I didn't sleep well because I was having some anxiety dreams. My girlfriend is away. And it's not about that. There's that, but there's also that combined with, I didn't eat right that day, and school's starting next week, so everything's fine, I guess, you know. But there's a lot of unknown, and so more will be revealed, Yeah, this the state of grace really kind of hit me a little bit, because I was thinking of the scene from a movie about the women who go to weddings and are not the bride but participate in the process. And this one scene between the lead actor and also writer and this guy, where she wakes up with him, before him, carefully extricates himself, herself from him, goes into the bathroom, and painstakingly, thank you, puts on this makeup to make herself like perfect, you know, and then climbs back in bed carefully, you know, puts his arm back around her and, you know, pretends to wake up when he wakes up, you know. And it's just a really great scene that's just got so many layers. And it's a complete work of fiction, right? I mean, it's a movie. But there's like so much truth in that. You know, the face that we put on, you know, the artifice of our daily lives, you know. And so, you know, sometimes I process these moments in my life where I have to face, you know, quote, reality, unquote, with a fantasy, you know, with an analogy. Like, I'll just make a joke about it. So if something is hitting me too hard, I'll be sarcastic and try and make a joke because I'm uncomfortable, you know, I'm really, it's hitting me really hard, you know, so I'll make a joke about it and be dismissive oftentimes. And I, if I do that too much, I know I'm kind of living in my addiction. And I'm not wanting to be in that present moment. You know, I'm either living in the future, so I'm worrying, right? Or I'm living in the past, which is I'm living in resentment. So coming back into the present. And so I need to make an adjustment. So I thought about this idea of making adjustments. So we make adjustments, I make adjustments throughout my life as, you know, a child into adulthood. You know, I was very small when I was little and I get bigger. And so there's adjustments that go on. Clothing, you know, certainly anatomy changes. Brilliant engineer Ferdinand Porsche designed a four-cylinder flat engine that ended up being in pretty much all the Volkswagens and Porsches for a while, and the six-cylinder version. Just, you know, the test of time, you know, it just is a manifestation of its success. But he designed it so that you adjust the valves every 3,000 miles, no matter what. No matter what, you adjust the valves every 3,000 miles. It's what you do because they go out of alignment. Because you use them, they go up, down, up, down, up, open, close, open, close, open, close. And so many times you have to adjust them. And so, there's wear and tear. You know, I mean, you have to change the oil. And if you let it go, you know, it's not going to explode. You know, if you change it every 6,000 miles and adjust the valves like every 10, but it's going to run really crappy and make a lot of noise and rough, and you won't get what you need out of it. And so I feel like that's a good analogy for taking care of ourselves. You know, I need to take care of myself. I need a smoothie. I need a green smoothie just about every day if I can get it. You know, no, I don't like to eat salad, so I drink it instead. You know, but I get it, you know, I get the salad. Just, you know, cheers. Cross talk. So is that 8? Okay, a minute left. Cool. And so another adjustment I make coming into the present is I'm tired today. I didn't sleep well, so I need to take care of myself. I've got a few more things I need to do, and I need to make outreach calls. My outreach calls are my updates. Here's what's going on right now. I need to make an adjustment. I'm going to call so-and-so and so-and-so. Here's how I feel. What can I do today? What can I? How can I make this work into the stream of life? Be living here in the present moment right now. Saturday, August 5th, 2023 at 10. Oh, the clock came back. Yeah, 10:20-ish. So I'm just so grateful to be here and be a part of this program, and grateful to everyone who's a service. Welcome to the newcomers. It's a transformative program for me, I'm just glad I can be a part of it just for today. So thank you for letting me share.